Welcome to Mental Healthy, where we share the stories and expertise of professionals working diligently in the field of mental health. I'm your host today, Dr. Kenya Knapp.
Well, welcome everyone to the Mental Healthy Podcast. My name is Dr. Kenya Knapp, and I'm glad to have you here today. As a word of explanation, I should mention that we've had a little gap here in the podcast, and I had an intern working with me who had to leave suddenly a few months ago, and because of that, we had a little gap, and I regret that, but we're looking forward to getting back on track here now. Today, I've got a really great guest. Her name is Elena Mackey, and we're going to be talking about third culture kids. And there's a lot of aspects to this that's going to hopefully catch your interest. Obviously, there's some mental health aspects to it, but there's also a lot of multicultural aspects. And so I wanted to welcome our guest here today. Welcome, Elena.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
You know, I appreciate you coming. If you would introduce yourself to the listeners and maybe give a little bit background about yourself, and you're a student here right now at Liberty University. Maybe you could tell them like what grade level you're at right now and a little bit about your background.
Yeah, so my name is Elena Mackey. I am a missionary kid and also a third culture kid. I was actually born in Colombia and adopted when I was just a few months old. Lived in the U.S. for a while till my parents decided to answer the call of God and become missionaries, going overseas at 5 years old to the Dominican Republic. And that's basically where I grew up. And I've come back to the States, Liberty University. I'm in my junior year now, double majoring writing and psychology. So it's a lot, but it's been amazing. Yeah.
Well, that's neat. So you have a number of aspects to your life that are third culture. The adoption piece, growing up in Dominican Republic, but also being from Colombia from birth, and then of course being here in America, but I guess maybe this doesn't totally feel like home because you haven't grown up here.
Yeah, there's a lot of pieces to the puzzle, and it's interesting to see how they may or may not fit together.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. And you've talked a lot about being a third culture kid and this whole idea of third culture kids. I'm sure some of our listeners are familiar with the term, but others probably are not. Could you give the listeners a sense of what does it mean to be a third culture kid? And like, what does that expression mean? Is it just three cultures, or can it be more than that? Or like, what does that entail?
So a third culture kid is someone who grows up in different countries, growing up in different cultures. So they get a sense of just living somewhere different and growing up in a way that most people, like growing up in America, that they wouldn't experience because they're somewhere completely different where the culture is completely different. And a lot of times it's just two cultures. So, for example, it'd be the U.S. For me, it'd be like the U.S. and Dominican Republic. Those are just two cultures. Mm-hmm. But the third culture comes in when the third culture kid will try to figure out which culture they belong to, but they don't really belong to either. So they're somewhere in the middle that they just create on their own, which is the third culture. But it definitely can be as many cultures as they just happen to be in. I know I have some friends, especially if they're a military kid, those can also be TCKs because they travel either all around the U.S. or all around the world, and they experience different places, and that just kind of becomes part of who they are.
Okay, see, you're expanding it here. This is good. So military kids, what about people whose parents are in business? Like, say they grew up in the Middle East and then in South America and America. I guess, would they qualify for this as well?
Yeah, if you've grown up in different cultures and just don't belong to one specifically, that's a third culture kid.
Okay. All right, so this does have lots of implications for the counselors and psychologists and social workers that are listening, because obviously, culture is something we try to study in our graduate programs, but I don't see that much in our textbooks about third culture kids. So this is cool. Now, you said that you moved to the Dominican Republic when you were 5 years old. How do you think that affects people at different ages? Like, you went at 5. Like, what if you went at, I don't know, 15 or something like that? Like what are the differences in how it affects kids when they move at different ages?
Yeah, it's definitely different depending on where the person is in their development and just what stage of life they find themselves in. For me, moving at 5, it meant I didn't really remember living in the U.S. at all or pretty much anything before the DR. So it changed how I connected to the U.S. And connected to my past. outside of the DR. For other people moving in like middle school or high school, those are really important years, especially because they're changing schools and they're having to kind of start over their life in those years that may be hard even for just people who just stay in one place. It can take a real toll on kids at that age. It can be really hard to adjust. Some don't adjust, some do. It all depends, but I would say the older you are, the harder it is.
Yeah, that makes sense. Like you said, you didn't really remember anything before five, which most of us don't. Mm-hmm. So I guess the Dominican Republic sort of feels like that's like your main home.
Mm-hmm.
Yet your parents grew up most of their childhood here in America. And I should tell the listeners, too, that I've been friends with Elena's dad for a long time. We sort of grew up together. And so I know he grew up here in the United States. So he probably considers America home. But for you, do you feel more like the Dominican Republic is your home, per se?
Yeah, the DR is definitely home to me.
Yeah. And so then your parents, you know, they might come back here to visit in the States or see extended family or things like that. And they feel like they're at home when they visit here, but you don't?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And especially most missionaries will know they have what they call a furlough. So they'll come back to the States every few years for a few months. We always did every 3 years for 6 months. So for my parents, that was always, we're going home. We get to see our family. We get to be where we grew up, what we knew before the DR.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas for me, I was just kind of building the connection off of memories or pictures that my parents would tell me about. So it always felt like I was leaving home and not necessarily coming home. But I definitely struggled with the, not necessarily pressure, but just the thought that since my parents felt that it was coming home, I needed to feel that too, when really I didn't.
Yeah, so you were trying to, I guess, get along with your parents mm-hmm. and their emotional connections, but you didn't have those emotional connections.
Mm-hmm.
So let's sort of go there for a second. You were talking about like your parents feeling at home and that loyalty and sense of belonging and all that, and you just don't feel it. How does that affect third culture kids as far as like how it affects their emotions of feeling connected to a certain place or maybe having a different sense of connection from their parents?
It's definitely a struggle, especially for me. I think I just so wanted to have the connection that my parents felt mm-hmm. or that because of them, I felt that I needed. So I would try to hold on to any little thing like, oh, I know how to get around this church. I know where this house is. I know these people. I know their faces. I know their names.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a way of me trying to kind of prove to myself that I belong, because I was like, if I know this place, if I know these people, then that means I have a connection. This can be some sort of coming back home for me. But it truly just added a lot of stress, a lot of pressure. And especially as an introvert, I found it hard to reconnect with people every time we came back. So it was a lot of loneliness, a lot of just trying so hard to make it feel like home. But for my brother, I have a brother, he's 3 years older. He is more of an extrovert. So I would say for him, he always just jumped into it. He made friends. He found his place. Whereas I was on the outside trying to talk to people, trying to make connections, but never fully feeling like it would stick.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense. So I guess you're saying too, personality plays into all this too. Like you being an introvert and your brother being an extrovert, does it make it harder for you in that sense? Or does it not really matter with third culture stuff, would you say?
I would say it does matter because especially if you're moving around a lot, being an extrovert, most likely easier to make connections, to put yourself out there and to truly try to immerse yourself. Whereas I, as an introvert, was more hesitant. I wouldn't be as outgoing. I wouldn't make connections as much. I wouldn't be the one to make the initiative and getting to know people and getting fully immersed in the culture.
Yeah, well, that makes perfect sense. This is an interview, not a therapy session, so I'll try to keep that in mind. But you were mentioning a second ago how, you know, there can be stress with trying to you know, like when you're on furlough and seeing people and having that sense of belonging. Maybe friends, that you can talk about friends you have. Like, how have you seen that stress affect them emotionally as far as feeling connected or not connected? Or, like, what does it do to the third culture kids emotionally to be dealing with all these being pulled in different directions?
It can honestly be really debilitating, just being unable to fulfill something that we so feel like we need to be able to fulfill.
Mm-hmm.
I see a lot of loneliness, a lot of depression, a lot of anxiety, a lot of isolation, because if they feel like they can't connect, then the only other option is just stay alone,
mm-hmm.
just be by yourself, which is one reason why Liberty is amazing. They have a missionary kid program where they get together and they can make connections, and it's people who, they're different. Everyone is different. Everyone has their own story.
Mm-hmm.
But we all understand being a TCK and having those different cultures. So it's all about really just finding people who can understand. Because if we have no one to understand us, mm-hmm. then it's not likely we'll have a connection.
Yeah, that makes sense. So even though your stories are different from these other third culture kids, you can relate to them. Like you have a lot in common of having to adjust all the time and being the minority. I mean, like not racial minority or anything, but just being the minority as far as culture goes. So that is wild. Well, let me ask you, I obviously know your parents, but you know a lot of other third culture kids and their parents as well. How have you seen the parents understanding their kids' third culture struggles or not? Do most parents get it, or do they not get it because they're only a two culture person, not a third?
I would say, unfortunately, most parents do not get it.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, yeah, from their own experiences, they only know leaving somewhere that they know and they still have those deep roots in, mm-hmm. and coming to a different culture. And they don't get as connected to the culture they move into because they won't have, like, for me, my parents didn't grow up in the DR. I grew up in the DR.
Mm-hmm.
I know what that's like to just fully grow up feeling more like a Dominican than an American, even though they raised me more as an American.
Mm-hmm.
So it definitely for TCKs in general, but MKs especially, there's a lot of missions that fail to recognize that the parents should have some sort of training, some sort of awareness that their child is becoming a TCK and there are struggles that come with that. And there's a lot of levels to it that the parents should be able to take time to understand.
Yeah. Are you aware of any good, I don't know, books or curriculum or anything like that about third culture kids?
I know of, there is a mission organization that is called Interaction International. They give a lot of focus to TCKs. They have two magazines. One is more educational and written by professionals who study TCKs and who are just experts in the topic. And then there's another one where TCKs send in poems, stories, essays, pictures that depict what it is to live as a TCK.
Mm-hmm.
And I've sent in a few of what it is to feel split between two worlds, of a piece of culture that I hold dear to my heart that's from the DR. So it's a wonderful resource to kind of read and just look into the minds of TCKs. There's also an author by the name of Lauren Wells.
Uh-huh.
She writes a lot about TCKs and what they go through, especially mentally.
Okay. And say the name of that organization again that you were saying.
Interaction International.
Interaction International. Okay. Well, that'd be, I always try to give the listeners some resources of things they can follow up with if it really catches their interest about all this. And this that certainly makes sense. I was thinking as you were talking too that I sort of made the assumption even in the question I asked you about the parents and all that they might not be third culture kids, or they might be. I guess your parents grew up here in the United States, but you could have parents who were third or fourth culture kids themselves. And so they may or may not, I guess, have empathy for what it's like for you. So.
Yeah, I would say I don't necessarily know any parents who are TCKs, raising TCKs, but I would say there is more of a sense of understanding, like, oh, yeah, I went through this too.
Mm-hmm.
But there may be a lack of your experience may be completely different from mine, the mm-hmm. way you deal with it because of your personality, because of just how you've grown up could be completely different. And instead of just kind of like projecting like, oh, this is what I went through, this is probably exactly what you're feeling as well.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. Which languages do you speak?
I speak English and Spanish.
Okay. Because as I was reading about third culture kids, they say, you know, it's a requirement many times. They speak multiple languages, and you do. And this is a maybe funny question, but which language do you think in?
It depends on what I'm thinking about or the mood. Okay. I tend to think more in English, but depending on, like, if it's something more emotional, something more dramatic, Spanish tends to fit well.
Okay. Well, yeah, I ask because as I've talked to people over the years in different places, I've sort of found that whatever language they think in, or this may sound funny, even dream in, sort of identifies what culture they're most connected with. And I remember a few decades back, I used to speak Spanish decently, but I'm horrible now. I'm not even going to try. I'm not going to fake it here. But I remember I was in South America, actually in Colombia. I've been there a few times. And I remember I had a dream one night, and after I'd been in Colombia for a number of months, and I actually dreamed in Spanish, and it sort of clicked in my head that I was actually becoming more immersed in the culture when I did that. But anyway, just a weird little detail. So let me ask you this too. With third culture kids, you mentioned how it's an adjustment for them, but how do you think they appear to the countries that they live in as far as the way they relate or maybe don't relate? How do they come across with these cultural differences?
For one, it depends on how young they were when they moved there. Because if they grow up from being younger and just live their whole life there, it's more likely that the people around them will see them as one of their culture. For me, especially just with my friends being able to see my white American parents, mm-hmm. they would see me as American, and I was like, oh, she's American, she's rich, she has all of this stuff. And it was totally wrong, and even in like how I spoke, like I've grown up speaking Spanish since I was so young, mm-hmm. and personally, I don't think I have an accent, but every once in a while, I would be talking, and my friends would be like, oh, ha ha, you sound like an American, which kind of hurt, but it is what it is. But depending on if you didn't necessarily grow up, if you moved overseas when you were older, then there's less of like, oh, this is more of an intruder, more of an alien, someone who doesn't necessarily know the culture as well. Even if they do, it's like, you haven't been here long enough, there's no way you could be one of us.
So when your friends did that and they were like, haha, oh, you sound like an American, you have that accent, was that them sort of like putting up a wall between you and them, like saying you don't belong or something like that?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it was so drastic to be like, you couldn't, like, you are not one of us, you couldn't be. But it was just still like a divide, like just a reminder, like, you aren't fully Dominican.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. Then there's also the spiritual difference too. You mentioned at the beginning when you described all your different cultures, you mentioned being a missionary kid, an MK. How does that sort of add to the equation of being a third culture kid plus the spiritual and religious difference? Like, what's the dynamic there?
So basically, it's all about the parents' ministry, how the parents go about the ministry, what ministry they do, how their children may or may not be involved. So for me, it's affected me more, I think, when I was younger and I had to go with them to everything because obviously they couldn't just leave me at home. But as I grew older, they kind of tried to leave me out of it just to try to give me as much of a normal-ish life as I could have. But there's still, I definitely grew up with the sense of responsibility of being part of my parents' ministry, of being able to help them, of being a leader like they were.
Mm-hmm.
And growing up in the DR, missionaries are seen as like, oh, these are like righteous people, if you see them doing something questionable, they're going to come after you. And I can imagine also in more serious countries like China, you have to be even more careful. You have to hide that, which adds more stress even to the kid, because it's like, I am part of this and I have to hide it. I have to make sure we stay safe. It adds a lot of responsibility to the child.
Yeah. Well, that reminds me, here in America, when I talk to a lot of PKs, preacher's kids, they say they feel like they grew up in a fishbowl. Like they felt like they had to look perfect or be perfect because, oh, if I come across like a normal kid and say something stupid or whatever, like most of us do, you know, gosh, it might affect my parents' ministry or it might affect their job or something if I get busted for doing something illegal or something like that.
Exactly.
Did you sort of feel that same pressure being a missionary kid in that culture?
Yeah, the child is an extension of their parents. So whatever I would do or my brother might do, it would reflect on my parents, and that was something we had to think about.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense. That certainly makes sense. Let me ask about a few other things about this. I was reading a few things online about third culture kids before we got together today, and there's some, I guess, benefits and some challenges to being a third culture kid. And I'll read a little bit of what I saw online. You can tell me if it's accurate or if it fits or not. They say that third culture kids are particularly adept at building relationships with other cultures while not necessarily possessing a cultural identity of their own. And then this is a little bit negative, but they said they can sometimes be referred to as cultural hybrids, cultural chameleons, or global nomads. What are your thoughts about like those expressions, cultural hybrids, chameleons, or nomads? Does that fit the TCKs that you've seen or not necessarily?
Yeah, I would definitely say so. We're just able to just understand that it's a different culture, it's a different place. People think differently because that's what we grew up with, and it helps us to adapt better to different cultures that we may encounter.
Yeah, that makes sense. When I read that definition too, they said that that they are good at adapting to different cultures, but they may not possess a cultural identity of their own. And I should ask this, let the listeners know too. You mentioned where you were in college, but can I ask your age?
It is 20.
20, okay. So you're still at the later part of adolescence, per se. I don't want to sound like a total academic geek here, but, but you know, in all the textbooks, they talk about identity development and all that, which is still happening at your age. Mm-hmm. Would you say that TCKs do struggle with having an identity of their own?
Yeah, 100%, because you have to decide or try to figure out which culture you want to belong to, or if you're okay just kind of being like a mix of everything, and then who you may be in one culture could be different in another culture when they come back to the States, when they're in university, trying to figure out what people group they want to join into or identify as. And just especially if you, for the people who come back to do university in the U.S., if they did not grow up in the U.S., then they have to figure out how they may fit into just what the image is of someone who is American, who is in the U.S., or as more of an international person.
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes sense. I'd say when I read online about all this, they said there's some benefits and challenges, so let me mention what they say about some of the benefits, and you can tell me if they seem to be accurate or not. They say some of the benefits are you have an expanded worldview compared to your average person because you've been around the world. You've seen a lot of things. They said that you have a third-dimensional view of the world. You have a more interpersonal sensitivity because you've experienced so many cultures and what's maybe a no-no in one culture or something like that that Americans might be oblivious to. And then they say that you tend to have higher cultural intelligence. That's a term that's becoming more popular these days here in America. And then higher levels of general adjustment. So what are your thoughts about those comments as far as all these alleged benefits? Do you think it's true or...
Yeah, 100%. There are a lot of benefits to being a TCK, which is why I'm so thankful that I am. It definitely changes the perception of the world. Just seeing it bigger, I guess, and more reachable compared to, I feel like if I had grown up in the United States, I wouldn't feel as if I could just go to a different country and live in it and adjust to it. But growing up in the DR, I know I could just go definitely wherever in Latin America, South America, and feel like, okay, I know this culture. It might be a little different from what I'm used to, but I can speak the language, I can understand the culture, I can understand the people. Or going over to Europe, I just know that I can just find a way to relate to the people because of just not being just an American.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's the whole thing about identity. You keep touching on it, and it makes a lot of sense. Some of the challenges they write about, or they say that a lot of times kids feel, I say kids, sorry, third culture kids, I guess it's okay, that third culture kids feel confused loyalties about which culture to be loyal to, the one they've grown up in, their parents' culture, you know, maybe other cultures too. You've touched on that already. They mentioned too that sometimes third culture kids have difficulty with adjusting to adult life. They say that the mixture of influences from various cultures that the individual has lived in can create challenges in developing an identity, as well as with the sense of belonging. Feelings of rootlessness and restlessness can make the transition to adulthood a challenging period for TCKs, because you sort of identity development and who am I is sort of part of adolescence and all that. And it's just a lot more, I guess, pieces in the recipe for you than your average person. I mean, I've just got three or four eggs and some flour for me, and you've got all kinds of things in your recipe. So do you think that's accurate as far as maybe more challenges in adjusting to adult life for a TCK than maybe a single culture person?
Yeah, 100%. Because growing up in the U.S., I didn't necessarily experience it, but I would think you grow up around the culture, you grow up seeing what all the other American adults are doing, and you see, okay, so this is probably the path I will take because I see other people doing it. But I grew up in the DR where it's what I see the adults doing is very different from what I would see here. So the path I'm taking is very different from what other adults I know in the DR are taking, or what even my friends from high school are taking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. Well, let's sort of turn this conversation in a positive direction, because, I mean, this research here was sort of mentioning the challenges and all this stuff. Let me ask you, of course, you're a psychology major, a double major in English. As a psychology major, when you think about all this third culture challenges and so forth, and of course, our listeners are generally people in the mental health fields, what are some ideas you might have that they could maybe do as far as, say, they have a client or a student in class or something that's a third culture kid? Do you have any general recommendations or ideas for them?
Yeah, well, for one, I definitely say, like, the resources we mentioned earlier, look into those, read the magazines. Not only the more educational one, but the one where it's TCKs writing specifically about what they're feeling. It can just help to give a look or just kind of prepare yourself like, oh, this may be what this person is coming in with. And it's not necessarily, you shouldn't be expected that the TCK will be 100% open like, oh, yes, I come from this different culture and these are all the struggles I felt in that. Partially because it's just kind of what we've lived with. So we may not necessarily see it as a problem or see the trauma in it, but it's definitely there and it does need to be addressed. It's just about finding the way in to seeing that.
Yeah, that makes sense. And you mentioned earlier about how Liberty has this program here for international kids and all that and MKs and so forth. And you used a phrase earlier, like having people that understand you. And so I guess just feeling understood, that's not third culture kids. We all want that. I know I sure do. We all want to be understood. And so I guess people trying to understand the third culture kid or making efforts is probably what you would want. Of course, I think about our multicultural textbooks, and they all say, you know, don't make assumptions and, you know, and try to like just let the person be the expert of their own story and, you know, interview them per se, and that's sort of healing in and of itself, because then they get a chance to self-define rather than you assuming, oh, you're Dominican or you're American or you're Colombian or whatever. And then you sort of explain yourself, and then I get to understand you.
So, yeah, I would say a majority of the TCKs should get counseling or are in counseling because they see the need of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I am. And that's one thing in trial and error in finding the right therapist and whatnot. I found someone who didn't make assumptions, who didn't try to act like he knew exactly what I was talking about, because he's not a TCK. He doesn't know what it is to be in different cultures.
Mm-hmm.
But it really just ended up him being someone who could listen and trying to understand and giving the space to talk through it myself. Because a lot of TCKs, just growing up overseas and having to deal with so many emotions and sometimes just having to be independent in dealing with it all themselves, are very self-aware of what they're feeling and what they're dealing with. So it's not met well when they try to talk to someone and the therapist just responds with like, oh, so it's this and this and you should do this and this. Like, no, I just kind of need to like just go through the thought process, put it out there so that it's just not hidden. It's just not all building up inside.
Yeah. Well, since you mentioned the counseling and how it could definitely benefit a lot of TCKs, thus far, what would you say has been the most helpful aspect of counseling? Is it just feeling understood, or is there other dimensions per se to counseling that's been most helpful?
The most helpful to me is just being heard and understood.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up kind of keeping it to myself and not wanting to add onto any of the stress of my parents. And then also just the aspect of not feeling fully understood by them, which is completely normal. But because of that, just not being able to talk about my experiences, my feelings with anyone. So then finally finding someone who I felt like I could just talk, be heard and understood, and not necessarily be talked back to, was exactly what I needed.
Well, that's cool. I'm glad you found that person. That's mm-hmm. that's very cool, because I know sometimes it's hard for people to find the right therapist for them. So, well, I tell you, we are getting near the end of the time here, and I had these questions for you today, but I always try to end interviews by asking people, you know, is there anything you'd like to say today that I haven't asked you yet? Because, you know, you probably came in here with some brilliant thoughts that I never got around to. And so any final thoughts for the listeners about TCKs or what would be most helpful for them, or anything else from your own life experience you might want to share?
The biggest thing is I just hope that the awareness of TCKs can increase with organizations such as Interaction International. I see that and I hope it continues to grow. My parents' mission is just now starting member care, where they're teaching people how to treat or talk to TCKs, how to teach the parents how to deal with their TCKs, how to care for them. And just seeing that increase more, and people outside of missions, outside of anything cultural, just anyone, just being able to understand, because we, especially here in the U.S., where so many people come in, we're surrounded by TCKs. They are everywhere, but they, like we mentioned before, that term chameleon, they hide.
Mm-hmm.
Because all of our lives, it's all about fitting in. Mm-hmm. So it won't necessarily show maybe what makes us different, because we want to fit in. We want to be part of this world. We want to be part of whatever culture we're in.
Well, I think you fit in here.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I appreciate you sharing all this today. And I'm sure the listeners appreciate it too, because this is sort of a new topic to a lot of us. I mean, you know, we talk about multicultural, you know, things X, Y, Z to the nth degree, but I haven't heard much about this topic, so this is really interesting. And that was Interaction International.
Mm-hmm.
And so that organization could certainly apply to every one of you listeners. You could check it out and possibly use it in multicultural classes that you're teaching or involved in, and hopefully that'll lead to more understanding, which is, I think, what Elena has done here today, is increase that understanding among you as far as your ability to relate to TCKs. So thank you so much for coming today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Yeah, well, we're glad to have you. And listeners, I hope you benefited from this today. And please check out our podcast, Mental Healthy, and check out the other podcasts we have as well. And we'll have more coming soon. Thanks so much for joining us today. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of Mental Healthy. Please be sure to subscribe for more episodes and share the podcast with your friends and colleagues. You can find this podcast on all your favorite podcast platforms. We hope you join us next time for more on Mental Healthy.
Music for this podcast is licensed under Creative Commons by Excel Music Publishing at freemusicpublicdomain.com.